We have started on the series Prophets and Prophecies, and that is because we have seen the faith movement, we have seen the healing movement, we have seen the faith movement, we have seen the charismatic revival, and we have seen the movement of praise, and we are reaching the tail end of the prophetic move, which is the tail end is usually the most powerful part. And we want to show some balance on this move of God, and through the word of God be able to flow with that move, so that in everything that God does, we will receive all that God has for us, leave out the extreme areas, and take the meat of what God has done for us. We have talked about the seven different levels of the spirit of prophecy, so that we know when it's thus says the Lord, and when it's not thus says the Lord, when it's I perceive, and we cannot deliver that as a prophecy. And this morning we are going to look at impressions in the spirit realm. And why some people detect some things and they think it is the Lord, when it's not the Lord, when it's themselves. And there are many things that are invisible, but they are real. Radio waves are invisible, but they are real. If you have the proper instrument to detect them and change the radio waves into sound waves, then we could know and experience the reality of radio waves. There are microwaves, heat waves, that carry with them energy to cause molecular friction and thereby generate heat. They are real. And when we have the proper instruments to activate them, we experience them as heat. So there are many things that are invisible, but they are real. They are there. Oxygen was not discovered until several hundred years ago. And before that, they didn't know exactly why some things burn. Today, they know that when things combust or burn, it is caused by the action of oxidization. But it was invisible to them because it's something they can't really touch, they can't really smell it, although it causes a reaction. In the same way, there are many things that are invisible in other realms besides natural realms. We have talked about things that are invisible, they are natural. There are other things that are invisible, they are not natural. Like, for example, your soul. You can't see your soul. You can only see the body which your soul lives in. Your soul can feel. But if they were to cut up your biological body into 1,000 pieces, they can't find your soul. It's invisible, but we know it's real. It's something we experience. Our spirit man is real, but we can't see it, we can't touch it in a normal, natural sense. There are some things that are invisible, they are in another realm. There are invisibilities in three realms. There is an invisibility in the natural realm. Radio waves, microwave, oxygen, nitrogen, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and some of the other gases. They may be invisible, but they're all natural. There is a natural invisibility. Then there is a soul invisibility. Feeling. How do you describe a feeling of hurt? Your body will show it, your face will show it, but how do you actually describe it? There are feelings that are invisible, or thoughts. Our thoughts are invisible. You can't catch a thought. You can hear a thought when it is expressed in a natural sound wave, but you can't see what someone is thinking normally. So there is a second realm of invisibility called the soul invisibility. There is a third realm of invisibility called the spiritual realm of invisibility. Like angels are here, but you can't see them unless God allows you to see them. The Lord is here, but you don't normally see Him unless you open your spiritual eyes. You and I have guardian angels. They are with us all the time. They sat on your motorbike when you came. Sometimes. Most of the time, they fly beside you as you go by your motorbike. At other times, you have your guardian angel climb into the same car with you, stand with you, and you thought there was nobody there. But you felt the presence of spirit beings. There is an invisibility in the spirit world. Now, if that is the case, we know in the natural that you can create natural pollution, like, for example, sound pollution. They can turn on a few radios on different frequencies and you get noise. All the stations will be broadcasting and they will just be making natural sound noise, disturbances. Did you know that we can create disturbances in the soul? There can be soul pollution. And we can create disturbances in the spirit world, for good or for bad. When we yield our lives to demonic powers, we create an atmosphere of oppression for all who are in our influence and who are our friends. Every time they're with us, they tend to be more drawn into demonic areas. Or we can create through our life of holiness and prayer a spiritual presence that lifts people up. There is such a thing as natural pollution, soul pollution, or spiritual pollution that is there. And around each one of us, we emanate natural substances. Like right now, as you're sitting there, your body is giving out substances. Water vapor is escaping from your body right now. We can't see it, but it's escaping all the time, which is why this room is warmer. This hall is warmer when we are gathered together. But it's there. At the same time, each one of us is giving out soul pollution or soul disturbances. Or on the positive side, soul influences. We're giving it out all the time. It surrounds us. We are also giving out spiritual. We are emanating spiritual light from our lives. We are touching on prophets and prophecy, and we are looking into these areas. When we understand that there are these three things that are emanating from our life all the time, then when we draw near a person in the natural, we could, for example, if a person has not bathed for 10 days, would you know it? Of course you would, right? And I'm guilty sometimes of that when I'm lost deep in my work. I think there was only two times in my life when I didn't bathe for 2 days. Right? I was absorbed in my work. And you could smell it, right? And every time I come back from a long walk and exercise, my wife says she can smell me, right? My sweat. So we could detect certain things. Of course, if we have noses as sharp as a dog, we could even smell it from further away. But do you know that when you draw near a person, not only you sense natural influences, you could pick up soul influences. You could pick up soul influences. See, the moment I draw near Barnabas, I begin to pick up soul things. This is called picking up. Now, we are teaching on prophets and prophecies so that as we understand this realm, we will know when it does says the Lord, when his impression to pick up. When we are immature in prophecy, or we are budding prophet, maybe baby prophet, no, maybe smaller than that, fetus prophet. We are trying to move into prophecy, and when we come near some people and we are praying for them, we send something, we say, we say, thus says the Lord. But not all things you send are thus says the Lord. We got to differentiate this realm to fine tune our sensing. So as I come here, remember, and I could sense, you know, that his wedding is on his heart. Right? To pick it up, right? And, right, it's really, and he's really excited about it. I could sense it. I could sense his soul excitement. Right? And Then spiritually, I could also sense a tremendous hunger in his life. His tremendous hunger. I could sense that he wants to be like Jesus and like me. He can pick things up in the spirit. And maybe I should go to someone whom I don't really know, right? Let's say my brother, I haven't really known him and that close to see him every Sunday, you know. So when I come near him, I straightway begin picking his job, his concern, that there's something in his soul, in his job, and he's wrestling about whether he's called or not on his inside, and that's the things that are surrounding the atmosphere around him. Right. But that's not thus says the Lord. Understand that is not thus says the Lord. See, we're picking the realm of prophets and prophecies so that we could understand all this realm. I could pick it up when you draw in a person. Now, not everyone can pick it up straight away. We have to reach a certain stage before we can pick it up. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. How we reach that state of sensitivity where we can pick something up, and differentiate between impressions in the spirit realm and the voice of the Lord or the Spirit of God. And we're going to just have time to look at three major areas. We're doing a series, so we'll teach a little bit at a time. Let's look first at the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. There are three major areas that affect the impressions that surround a person, a group of people, or even a place. If right now, while you are here, and I were to travel to your house and look around, I could tell, number one, from the natural, the kind of person you are, and roughly what your interests are by looking at the things around in your house. Your books, your furniture, your kitchen, your lounge, your bed, your bookshelf, your cassette, and anything else. I could tell from the natural. At the same time, if I were blindfolded and I were to enter your house and you're not there, I could pick up in the soul area what has gone on in your home. There is what I call an area of soul, the marks of our soul that we left behind. We know it's true in the natural. After you have sat in your place, and if you to go off, and we ask a dog to come and smell you up, and smell which seat you have sat on, he could pick up the exact seat. For they have a very sharp nose to smell things in the natural. Now there are developments in our soul that are there that we could pick up when we enter a home, even if the people are absent, all that has gone on of their thought life and their words and their emotional life has been soaked into the furniture, the walls, and the place that they live in. It is there. And we could detect it in the soul area. And of course, if there have been tremendous prayer, when you enter a place, you know that the presence of God has been there. And you will be like one of the Old Testament saints and say, the Lord is or was here. And you recognize it. Deuteronomy chapter 18. In the restrictions in regard to a prophet, it was 15 onwards. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, what they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among the brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my word which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, prophet can speak a word in their own name which God has not commanded to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Verse 22, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously, you shall not be afraid of it. The word presumptuously means that the prophet presume, assume, or take it that the impression that he or she is having is from the Lord. But it is not the Lord. That would be a very dangerous position to be in the Old Testament. For when your prophecies don't come to pass, you die. To speak presumptuously, the word presumptuously is not that a person purposely, maliciously plan or plot to deceive. But the person sort of thought, assumed that God said something. And as we analyze it, it's because the person has impression that they have not brought before God whether it's the Lord. Not every impression is from the Lord. So the first factor in causing us not to be able to detect correctly the Spirit of God and to flow with what He actually is doing is the first area that we call the internal condition of the heart. The internal condition of the heart. Each one of us has a heart, and the heart consists of your soul area together with the conscience. And I like to put your heart as the central point of your personality, your soul working together with the spirit, your personality. So there are some things that come from inside us that are not from us, and they are not of God, but they just come from somewhere on the inside, and they will cause us to be able or not to be able to differentiate whether impressions are from the Lord. We all know the blessing in the Beatitudes. It says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall, they shall see God. That means the heart must be pure. There must be no hindrances on the inside. Which explains why it is harder for a prophet to find out God's will for a life partner for himself or herself, then for him or her to prophesy over another person. Their own emotions are affected. It's harder to hear from God yourself, even if you're a prophet, whether Mr. A or Miss Y is God's will for you. For if you're in love with Mr. A, all your emotions and your heart is saying yes, yes, yes. And you surround yourself with a cloud of yeses. And when God wants to say no, you reverse it to say on. Go on. Somehow, it just hears differently. It's harder to hear when you're affected. And even people who operate the word of knowledge, when it comes to people whom they have come to know very much, it becomes slightly more difficult to operate supernaturally because you can pick up things from your association with the person. But it still can be done, but it becomes harder. And I was reading an article on an analysis of people who are quote-unquote psychic. Some of it are demonic, some of it are powers of the human latent soul. Latent power of the soul. And there was this lady who was used by detectives to search for people and all that, and she was quite highly successful in that. Partly it was demonic, partly it was from a soul. But she has a knack on that, and she thought that it was a gift from God. She didn't realize that every human being is born with that kind of gift and ability. It's just a matter of development. Said that you need to be turned to God. She herself has a lost child. And the journalist asked her, why is it that you can help everybody except yourself? And she said, my emotion got in my way. So she can help all the people find every other thing, but she can't find her own lost child. And she said, her emotion got in the way. In the internal realm, there are three areas that we have to look at. Number one, a heart that is cleansed by the blood. When our heart is not cleansed by the blood and there's sin in our life, our hearing becomes affected from the inside. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. An evil conscience is a conscience that condemns you for some things that you have done. It says when we have a true heart that is cleansed by the blood of Jesus, we will have, the Bible says, full assurance of faith, not half assurance of faith. And what is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Part of the operation of faith is the ability to hear God. And even the book of Romans, chapter 12, says that if anyone has a ministry of prophecy, in Romans 12, it says that you or she or whosoever, in verse 6, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Now, if our prophesying is in proportion to our faith, then when we don't have full assurance of faith, we cannot have a full ministry of prophesying. You can see how it's connected. We need a heart that is cleansed from sin, so that when we are in the presence of God, you're not always conscious. See, consciousness is a substance. It surrounds you like a cloud, an invisible substance. And when you're conscious of some wrong thing you have done, you cannot hear God straight away. You cannot move into that spirit of prophecy. Your impressions are blocked. We need to be conscious of God rather than conscious of our sin. Second area is in what I call the tone of the heart. The tone of the heart. Imagine it to be like a drum, right? A drum is affected by the material. The sound you get from a drum is affected by the material, right? Of course, it will sound different if it were made from different types of material. And you have the bongo drums, and it's made from skin, and it sounds a little bit softer. But when you have this new type of material, it sounds different. So the sound comes from the material, and that is the first point we're talking about. Get the materials right. Get the blood of Jesus in. Get the Spirit of God to cleanse us, and our heart becomes cleansed. The second area is when you play a drum, you could play, right? Like, who am I going to play the drum? If inside your heart the melody is wrong, and it goes, boom, boom. Have you ever seen some of these Christian movies? And when you reach a dangerous spot, you go, boom, and I put the knee to H. Boom, boom, boom. The melody that is in our heart, our heart has a rhythm in the natural.
Right.
Our natural heart. Each one of us has a heartbeat. There is a certain rhythm. It's a very nice rhythm. If the doctor puts a stethoscope to you and hears your heart going something like, they will straight away put you on bed, ICU. So they must hear the lovely melody of the heart. It's a certain melody. Do you know that we have a spiritual or soul heart that has a melody? And if that melody is wrong, we will not hear from God. We will not be in the position to receive the right impressions from God. And we will not be in the place. Because there is a certain rhythm that has to be there before you tap into the spirit world. The wrong rhythm pulls you down. In each one of us, there is a song in our heart. Little children are all born with a song. Notice how they talk. There is a song. They say, Papa. They will say,
Papa, come here. Yes, what do you want? Can you play with me?
They never talk like that. Notice that it's inside all children. They always have a rhythm. And little children talk with that rhythm. Papa, Mama, come here. Yes, dear. We also get caught in a rhythm. Some languages have rhythm, right? And you know, some languages make you shake more than others, right? Like Barnabas, at one point he was really learning Tamil, right? And because of its difficulty in pronunciation for some of us, right, we got to shake our head a bit to get the right pronunciation. Right? To get it. So that explains the phenomena, right? Why they shake their heads when they speak Tamil. But some Chinese languages, they also have a certain rhythm, right? And it looks like they're on tiptoe. Wah si honang, right? They have a rhythm. And in fact, the old Chinese opera shows, I could never understand the languages because they keep speaking in that kind of poetic fashion. And the English language has its own too. It is not so much the meaning of the words that affect us sometimes, it's also the tone of the words. The tones carry a secondary meaning that is stronger and more powerful than we have realized. You could say a hello in 10 different tones. Hello. Hello! Hello? You could say the same meaning in different other areas of intonation and it gives a different meaning altogether. The tones are what we're talking about, the tones of a word. Inside each one of our heart is a rhythm. Listen very carefully. Sometimes as a little child grows, that rhythm is robbed out of their life. And they take on a melancholy or a depressive countenance. You could hear it in the words people say. I hear it in the tone all the time. I'm very sensitive to the tone. And I could hear it sometimes in rejection. People who are rejected, they could say the same thing, but they say it in a different way. You could hear it in the tone coming out. And they are saying in a tone, I'm rejected. I'm rejected. It comes out in every other word. They could be talking about math, talking about science, talking about physics, and the rejection still comes out. You could hear it inside. It's the other deeper language that we're talking about. Inside each one of us is a melody. When that melody in our life dies, the will to live dies. There's a song in our heart. that must not die. And to get in that spirit of prophecy, we need to have beating in our heart the rhythm of God. That's the second key. That is why in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, beating with the Spirit, verse 19, speaking to one another in some things and future songs, singing and making melody in your heart in the Lord. When the melody is right, it's easier to hear God. And easier to differentiate what I call the inflection. How do you tell in a natural what gestures are in the air? You pack it out separately. Get hold of those gestures and you go to see the internal check. You need the instrument to talk. In the same way, there are inflections all the time out there. How do you tell which are from God, which are from It's important. They know, human beings know the importance of that melody. But what we are talking about is a natural melody, but also a soul melody that must be our heart. That is why when Elisha wanted to prophesy, he said, in 2 Kings, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 3, he says, 3 Kings says, hear God for us, and Elisha said, in verse 15, 2 Kings 3:15, now bring me a musician. He needs somebody to stir up the melody in the heart. When the melody is stirred up, you can hear God. For that reason, in the book of 1 Samuel, Samuel and his prophets used to always stay around together and play music together. Worshipful music, that is. So that the presence of God would be there. All around them. Surrounding them. Let's look at the book of 1 Samuel. In chapter 10, verse 5. After that, you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high places, singing instruments, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesied. See, all these instruments are playing. And when you're surrounded with melodies, it's so easy to hear God. Because that melody gets into your soul, and your heart beats in the right rhythm. Why does the Bible say, do not stand in the way of sinners or fellowship with those who are wicked? Stay in the council of the scornful? Because they have a different melody. They're playing the devil's songs and the devil's melody. When you're in your presence, you can't hear God. There must be always a melody bubbling up in our hearts constantly. David, although he was anointed to be king, there was no incident in the Bible that showed that he was anointed to be prophet. Yet the Bible in the book of Acts chapter 3 calls him a prophet. And said David, being a prophet, spoke of the resurrection of Christ. Why was he a prophet? Because he was a son. He surrounded himself with song. And the melody got so much into his spirit that he began to hear God easily and prophesy of things to come. And he moved into the prophet's office. In the book of Psalms 42, let's look at Psalms 42. It says here, let's see his sorrow. He says here, in verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. Now he's now cast down. While they continually say to me, where is your God? Now he's been challenged, where is your God? And he's crying, he's weeping, he's in a shroud of despair. And in verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul with him. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. Now when he was down, he went to places where they had the melodious joy and praise of God. And he says, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. And he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Now he's strong enough to stop his own soul. Why are you disquieted within hope in God? For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Look at verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. His song shall be in me. His song shall be with me. And David knows that as long as the devil can't steal his joy, the devil can't steal his victory. And if the devil can't steal your song, The devil can't steal your health, your life, your prosperity, everything that God wants for your life. Before man was sick and died, when Adam fell, the first thing that he lost was his soul. God said, in sorrow you shall eat, and in toil and sorrow you shall plow. Before he ever got sick and died, before he ever lost everything, God said, you immediately have lost the song, my blessing. One day when we are restored, the book of Revelation says, there's a new song that we're going to sing to God. Psalm chapter 45, verse 1. Now look at how David prophesied. It starts with the melody. See, if you're wondering how to move into the spirit of prophecy, look at how he did it. This is his secret in verse 1. It starts with his heart. My heart is overflowing with a good thing. Says 1. So he gets a good thing inside. He gets a melody. Get a good melody on his inside. Then he says, I recite my composition concerning the king. Then he begins to get a word of prophecy. And of all the books in the Old Testament that are quoted, there are only two books that are quoted the most. Psalm and Isaiah. The two most frequently quoted books in the New Testament. Because they are full of prophecy. And he says, my tongue, that's a prophet's tongue, becomes like the pen of a ready writer, all ready to write. It's good to see all the other things coming up, the prophecies and everything. But our question this morning that we want to settle is how it started. With a good thing. The third area on the internal condition of the heart is it must be full of the Word of God. In the book of Colossians 3 verse 16, it says, let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. The word of God. And for that in the Old Testament, we can also look at the book of 2 Samuel. And in the Psalm of David, he says here, in chapter 23, verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was in my tongue. So when you want God's word to flow out from your life, let Colossians 3, verse 16 come forth, let your heart be filled with the word of God. Then with the word full, we could easily detect impressions. That's the first area. The internal condition of the heart is three sub-points. The second area on the ability to detect impressions in the spirit realm is to understand, or what I call a number two, the power of the thought realm. The power of the thought realm. We all know there's power in our words. Do you know that there's power in your thought? Say, there's power in my word. There's power in my thought. See, the thought realm is so powerful that the thoughts you think are not just something that pass away like that. A thought has a lifespan depending on the energy of that thought, which it means the strength of the thought and the length of time of the thought, and also the abundance of that thought. The three forces that affect it: the strength that is in that thought, the length of time that is given to that same thought, or sometimes it's an abundance of those thoughts that are transmitted to different people to think through. It causes a certain atmosphere to be there. The words or thoughts we think surround us just like our body odor surround us. And our clothes, when you wear your clothes for the first time, it picks up your smell. The thoughts that we think get soaked all around us. And the places you live in, the thoughts you think remain there for some time. How powerful are thoughts? And it's a realm that Jesus is conscious of. And let's look at Jesus as he moves into impressions in the spirit world, in the spirit realm. In the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, there is a prophecy in regard to Jesus' life. Now we are saying, please understand that point two is not the ability to read another person's mind. God will never allow you to look into a person's life in areas that are secret and private. The word of knowledge is only once in a while for a higher purpose. But God's not going to give anyone a mind-reading ability. But yet we could pick up influences that are surrounding the thought. In the book of Luke, the little Gospel of Luke, in chapter 2, in the prophecy regarding the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 34-35, Luke 2:34-35. Behold, this shall is the singing for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thought of many hearts may be revealed. Now, he doesn't read the person's mind, but he picks up all the thoughts that come forth from that person. Now let's look at a Christian example in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We are not looking into a person's mind, but we are looking at the result or the impression of the thought of the person's life. In chapter 14, says in verse 24-25, if all prophesy, again you notice prophecy is connected. Prophet and prophecy. If all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all or convicted by all, he is judged by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Now there are two things that take place for a person who comes in the midst of people who are at the level where they can pick things up and where they are able to move into the spirit of prophesying. It is when an unbeliever, as a non-Christian, or an uninformed person, which means that is a Christian who has not been taught the word of God, and there are things in their heart that are kept secret only they and God know. But when they come into such a meeting where everybody is so sensitive to that realm, the invisible realm that we're talking about, and some of those things become revealed, he will acknowledge that God is in him. Because nobody else will know those things. But there are two things that happen. Number one, convinced by all. Number two, judged by all. Convinced is the word means convicted. Judge is a pronunciation of a person's life and thought. There's something that is there when a person thinks. When you approach a person, the thought that the person is thinking are surrounding that person. It's there. Now, how big that cloud? Imagine it as a cloud. Everyone of us has a cloud that surrounds us. What that cloud is determined by what is going on in our mind. When a thought is very intense, the cloud gets thicker. When a thought has been dwelt on for a permanent or great length of time, the cloud is dispersed over a broader area. And when more people of the same thought gather together, the whole place is pulled down or raised up by those thoughts. Jesus, as he approached people, he could detect that what I call the cloud of thoughts around the person. You see him functioning in that in the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. There is a difference between reading a person's mind and seeing the result of their thoughts. It's just like you may see a cloud, but you may not know what the contents of the cloud is. Sometimes when they do stage shows, they put white colored gas. Usually it could be carbon dioxide or dry ice that's put together into water or something, and smoke comes out. Just by looking at it, it could be any smoke. It could be many types of things that are causing that. It could be nitrogen smoke. It could have been carbon dioxide smoke. So you just see smoke. But there's so many types of gases that cause smoke. So you see the smoke, but you may not see the content of it. Sometimes you know the content because of your experience. A chemist may be able to tell. But the ordinary person may not be able to tell the content of smoke. So in chapter 5, verse 17, now here the anointing is there. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal. Then, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they sought to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, that was the spiritual side, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason. They told it among themselves, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he detected some sort of cloud coming out from their side. And he knew it was not something good. And he roughly knew the content of the thought. He replied to them. He knew their thoughts. In chapter 6, the most occurrences are in the Gospel of Luke. We are only quoting a few. In verse 6, it happened on another Sabbath. Then he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watching closely whether he would heal on the Sabbath that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. And he said to the man, now, they did not even say anything this time. They were just sitting down, and in their mind they were thinking, let's see if this man is going to break the Sabbath or not. It is all in their mind. But by thinking, they produce smoke. And Jesus knew, that's not a good smoke. Didn't they read the law? Thou shalt not smoke? No, that was different. It was like law. Is this smoke coming up? That's in the invisible realm. And he knew something was happening. And he knew their thoughts. See, he detected it. Let's look at the book of Luke, chapter 24. Now his own disciples. Jesus has been crucified. And 3 days and three nights. After that, he was raised, resurrected, and he appeared to his disciples several times. This is one of those times. And in verse 36 to 38, Luke 24. As they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And then look at what he said. Why do doubts arise in your heart? He sensed that rising of fear, the atmosphere of fear coming out. And he had to speak against it. There is a powerful thought realm. Have you noticed that when a person speaks, the thoughts that have been most dwelt upon in their life are the strongest impression you get from their life? Let's say you want to do a Bible study. You just read a Bible study. Okay, you know, and it's a little quiz, like who was Moses' sister, who was Moses' brother, and how many days did Moses fasted, and etc. And you get it, there's nothing much that you get out of it except knowledge, the information. But when a person comes up and has dwelt on some things and says, he has seen the glory of God, you know that what he's saying is something he has dwelt upon for quite a long time. Do you know that the greatest song, the greatest books, and the greatest works of man come forth from thoughts that have been deep in the soul of a human being? I can assure you, you could write your life story in two ways. Maybe it's written by somebody else and it's just written, you know, in a simple manner, or just this happened, that happened, what day you were here, what day you were there. It doesn't look like life story, it looks like schedule. But when you begin to put your experiences in, like, you know, I like hearing Barnabas share, right? Barnabas may teach the word differently. But when Barnabas shared something about his life, his experience, then you notice some thoughts or something that's affected his life. And it comes strong. It comes across strong as something that affects you. Some songs affect us more than others. Some thoughts affect us more than others. Like, why did the thought, like Pastor Jeffrey, who said many, many things, right, in the office time. But of what he said, the most impressive thing that he said was when he quoted Robert Schuller, and he said that you can count the seeds in an apple, but you cannot count the apples in the seed. Now, whoever said that first must have thought a long time and put all his thoughts in one juicy statement that is so strong that when you eat it, it's like eating steak. You need to chew carefully to understand. That's why some of us have life principles and sayings that go with you in your life very strong. Like my wife, she used to say when she was in school, she got a motto. Say, what motto? Motto, motto. Right, but it's a motto. motto was, what you can conceive, you can achieve.
Very nice.
We don't know who said that, but somebody who said that had a thought, an experience of something that's so strong that it consumed them, and they put it in juicy little words. They spoke out the thought in their heart. And
then you know that there's substance in the thought. The substance in those thoughts. So there are these three dimensions in the thought that we need to draw very carefully. There are three parts of the soul, but we list them in different areas. Number one, the intensity. The intensity. The intensity of its feelings and experiences. When somebody says their thought or their song or whatever, their books or whatever, and you know that there's an intensity of experience inside, something comes out and affects your life. And you could detect it on the reverse area. And intensity is in a realm of experience and feeling. Some of you may say, I can't teach like so and so and so and so. You don't have to copy anybody. Sit down very carefully and look at what you have experienced. And then, number two, what you understand about your experience. See, when someone shares an experience without understanding, it can affect our lives. They say, I don't understand, but this is what happened. As I was walking, I saw an angel, and all of us wake up. They can't explain it, but when they share what has happened, or perhaps one of you prayer warriors, or when you share some of your experiences, like without explanation, like there were three times in my life when I was in deep prayer, and I felt a presence of God come down, and it felt like something grabbing you on the inside. And I found that my body was speaking in tongues, but as if I was outside. I don't know if you ever have that. And when I was having that experience, the first time the Lord said, this is what it was like on the day of Pentecost. Now then, I'm just sharing an experience, I'm not explaining anything. But when we share an experience that affects our life, that changes our life, that transforms our life for the years and years to come, it is filled with an intensity of thought and words. That's how powerful they are. The second is when we understand and we share the understanding that we have received. Thoughts have revelation content. Like the little saying about the apple and the seed. There is some understanding involved that you've got to think carefully what it is. Things like, after all the homiletics lessons that students learn, and they can take 10, 20, 30 courses, I summarize it all into my own juicy statement and said that to preach and teach well, say number one, to be able to impress deeply, you must feel deeply. You can't feel that sermon burning in your bones, don't preach it. When you can feel the fire in your bones of what the message of what you're speaking, then you can impress and put it deep into people's lives. That's a homiletic lesson just in one point. The second point is that when you think clearly, then you will speak clearly. And a lot of people speak things that they don't think too clearly. So they sound muffled, confused, and distracting. Don't know where they're talking, taking us and what they're talking about. But when someone has thought carefully and clearly, and they speak about it, it comes out very clear. You like that kind of message. So in homiletics class, of all the 15, 16 years of experience in preaching and teaching, I summarize it to two juicy capsules. If you understand it, you got it. If you feel deeply, you can impress deeply. If you think clearly, you can speak clearly. That's my own new juicy statement that come up. But it takes 10 years to come up with those two short sentences. After going through hundreds of homiletics books and all the points about standing here, standing there, straight here, straight there, you know, 3 points and a point, realize that those are all the toppings, but the essence is there. So there is what I call revelation content in the thoughts that we speak, and we need to have it in order for it to flow forth. The third area, and this is very powerful, when two people think the same thoughts, it has a multiplication effect. It doesn't increase by doubling, but it increases by squaring. And you know, by squaring, the increase is so great. Square, cube, etc., to the power. Among the many books in my library, I have a set of medical encyclopedia that lists almost every sickness there and describe what its symptoms are. But there are different sections on it, and there's one section that intrigued me. It's all written from a secular point of view. It's called faith healing. I was quite intrigued. I mean, this is a medical encyclopedia. They got one section on faith healing. And I read about their experiments. Now, I understand that they are non-believers and they treat everything like a phenomenon. And I like to see how they look at us from the other side. And in the section on faith healing, there was only one part that really made it an interesting point. And if you don't believe me, I can follow that section and we'll show you. It's an actual experiment. They attach these electrodes to the quote-unquote faith healer. I don't know who he was. That can measure the brain activity, right? Or electrical signals in the brain. So they attach it to the faith healer, quote-unquote. Then there was one monitor there. Then there's another electrode that was attached to the patient. And this was a full-fledged faith healing thing, and the faith healer consented to the experiment. They wanted to see with their natural eyes what actually happened. Now you all woke up, all waiting what is going to be the end of the story. It's a real experiment. And they noticed this strange thing happened. Don't know what the faith healer did or said, but they did it by touch. And he concentrated on something, whatever it was. And they could see the signal on the oscilloscope or monitor, whatever it was. The brain signal. Certain pattern. Each one of their thought pattern, they have a certain pattern. And then they saw something strange take place on the patient. That at first, when it started, their thought patterns are different. But at some point, the patient's brain waves became similar to the faith healer. Similar. And at that point is when the patient said she felt better. How do we approach that? See, there is something that Jesus said when he said, where two of you agree as touching anything on earth, It shall be done in heaven. And the word agree is the word symphonio, which means an agreement not only of the spirit but of the soul. One heart, one mind, and one spirit. A symphony. And the word Jesus used, the word agree, is symphony. We know what a symphony is. When the guitar is playing some chord, da 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 da, the piano will be playing something in symphony. Da 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 da. So they could harmonize. It could oscillate together. It could have a rhythm together. And we are talking about the rhythm of brain waves and atoms. Now that is just in the natural. Just think. Whether these guys have or have not the Spirit of God, they tap on some human latent power that is there in a fallen spirit and a fallen soul of man. How much more when we understand the words of Jesus who say, all things are possible to him who believes. So that your mind, your spirit, your being is totally convinced to what God wants to do. And that conviction that is in your heart and in your mind and in your thoughts begin to affect another life and another life and another life. Together they are going to do a mighty thing for God. Jesus said, where two agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. When I thought of that, I say, because I understand the realm of the Spirit, I knew to move in the anointing, you have to get people to believe in the same things that you do, you believe in. And you know this anointing increases when you begin to hear testimony. Because your mind, your thought pattern begin to absorb. And you begin to yield to the quote-unquote, I'm speaking natural first, the brainwave pattern that is there in the soul realm. There is also a spiritual pattern that is flowing. But a symphony starts affecting our soul. Why is it that when Peter was walking on water, he was walking on the water, when his mind got into the wrong pattern, he doubted, he immediately began to sing. Why should a miracle be tied up to what he thinks? Because a miracle is always tied up to what we think. God is able to do above what we ask or think. The limitation is in our thinking. Therefore, if you could have one or two human beings on earth who believe and think with God's help, that what they receive from God is from God and that they can do it, you can do it according to Mark 9:23. But the majority of people are small thinkers. And everybody is a small thinker, like little tortoise. When they have a big thinker come, everybody stone him. Because we don't want to have anyone rock the boat. And I used to travel by taxis every time go to minister and go to the airport. One day I was talking to this taxi driver. I was asking about his life and he said, how are you doing? How are you managing to live, make a living through driving? And got a conversation with him. And he started talking about prosperity and things of this life. And he said, you can never make it. You can never, those who were to could be rich is already rich. You cannot do anything more. And he says, those who are millionaires, they are already there. I mean, they are already there. He says, for him, he's just as he is. And he knows he cannot make any more difference. And he says, he just has to work as he is. Everything that can be done has been done. And I sat there and I said, no wonder this man never rose higher than he is. In his mind, he has put a block. Nobody put it on him, he put it on himself. That says, he can never rise above his earning power. He said that to himself, he believed it, and it is in his thoughts. It was the first few things that came out of his mouth. I don't know how long he's been thinking those kind of thoughts. The thoughts we think are powerful. They can be so powerful that it works on reverse. When you go near a person, you sense the atmosphere of their thoughts. That is why sometimes when you go near a certain group, and song leaders, you understand what it is when you go to different places to lead songs. In some places, you try to sing a song, and you try to rejoice, you'll be the only clown dancing on the platform. Everybody. Come on, everybody, let's sing Joy in the Lord. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. But at other times, in different groups, the people are all ready. They got their rhythm. Let's rejoice. Hallelujah. They rejoice. The thought patterns, they are already there, that surround a place. My friends, thoughts are real. They can kill. They can neutralize and nullify. They can paralyze. Ananias and Sapphira died because of one wrong thought. Their thoughts came from the enemy. Thoughts of has intensity. Intensity of feeling and experience. Number two, it has frequency. How long, how often you think of a thought is going to create something. I don't know how to share this, but in the spirit world which I have been, it's very strange. What you think becomes created in front of you. Like, the spirit world is like this. When you say, Father, thank you for a loaf of bread. Boom, it's right there in front of you. And in the spirit world, the moment you think of something, it's like it's created. It's on this earth where the synchronizing of thought and natural world is not perfected yet. Which is why faith is required. Well, it's a powerful realm. It has intensity, it has frequency. And number three, it has symphony. Symphony. There are 3 points on thought. Intensity, frequency, and symphony. Symphony means that if your thought patterns that are of God begin to affect another person, they begin to do 10 times the things that they did before. That is why when God saw the Tower of Babel, he said, if these people are so united in the wrong thing, how greater evil they will do, how much greater evil they will do. And he destroyed the Tower of Babel. And God is not so much concerned just about the action. Every time God does something, he is concerned about the thoughts that we think. In the book of Genesis 6, when God saw the wickedness of man's thought and heart, he quickly do something before it comes up. He knew that what we conceive, we can achieve. When you increase the intensity, frequency, and symphony. So that's the second realm. Understand that when you're moving in the prophetic realm, when you go near some people, now let's give an example. Okay? This is how people make mistakes. We're teaching people how not to make mistakes. When you're ministering to someone, perhaps, who has been praying all their lives to go to, let's say, China, maybe it's not God's will, let's say, but everything about person is just preparing towards that. I may not know anything. Let's say I'm moving in a prophetic ministry, and I come near. The moment I come near, if I'm sharp enough, I straight away pick up China. But just because I pick up China doesn't mean that God is asking me to tell a person it's God's will to go to China. Can you see where people make a mistake? It just means that if I'm sensitive enough, I will differentiate between impressions of the spirit realm and the voice of the spirit of God. And what I'm picking up is not the voice of the spirit, but what the Lord is showing me or what I'm picking up from the atmosphere, because he's been thinking so much about that.
Which I know he has not in regard to that.
It's only an illustration. And think about how many young prophets here in the state. And they pick up the impression from the air and say, God says the Lord, it is God's will for you to go to China. And that fellow really go and suffer and come back and say, Appa, any prophet? Ready to stone you. In a similar way, when I have prayed with people, let's say when you have a prayer meeting of 2, 3, or 4 people, when you pray together, understand it. That when you get into deep prayer and symphony, you begin to also exchange thought patterns. And sometimes you begin to pick up what is in another person's thought pattern. Let's say this person has something against another person. And you pick it up and you think that, oh, there's something that's wrong with that person. It's not. You are picking up the thought patterns of these two fellows here who have something against another person. And you begin to assume that there's something wrong with that person. And see, you confirm it is of God. 2 or 3 witnesses, you see? Misquoting God's word. This is a very fine-tuning area that we're talking about. Why people make mistakes? Because they don't understand their impressions in the spirit realm, and there are these intensities, frequencies, and symphony of thought. So when you go to a group that has a symphony of a wrong thought pattern, and you approach it, you will pick up the symphony. But what you pick up is not that says a lot, nor is it I perceive in the spirit. You're just picking it up because you're there. It's in the air. It's in the invisible part of the air. The last and third point is spiritual influences. Every one of us labor under the things of the Spirit. Now you can add another verse if you like to the thought pattern, Romans chapter 8, that if you set your mind on the things of the Spirit, you will have life and spirit. If you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you will have life and death. And that is in Romans 8, it's in the Bible, it's talking about believers. How important it is to have right thoughts. Maybe before I go on, let me read one more chapter. Isaiah 55, on the thoughts, area of the thoughts. Praise the Lord. Maybe we leave the third point for next week. Let's look just at these 2 points. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. And we have focused on 2 points only. Let's cover 2 points. The first is the internal condition of the heart. And the 3 points involved in that. The cleansing of the heart. And the melody in the heart. And the word of God in the heart. The second point is regarding to the power of thought. That people don't understand. In Isaiah 55, God is saying here in verse 3, incline your ear. He's asking us to hear him. Come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. Now we're talking about hearing God. But you cannot hear God unless you break through the thought barrier. And what we are talking about is in more than just this verse. You can find it in Ephesians chapter 3. That God is able to do above what you think or you ask. Why does Paul say in Philippians chapter 4, think on those things which are good, have virtue, they are pure. See, each person surrounds themselves with a different type of cloud. We need to understand that we must surround ourselves with a cloud of God's glory. Isaiah chapter 55. Says here, incline your ear and come to me, hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Now when you hear the sure mercies of David, your spirit should jump up Because the sure mercies of David is a prophecy that is uttered in the book of Acts chapter 15, when the Jerusalem council met together and they said that God has gone to the Gentiles to gather himself a people, and when he comes, he will restore the tabernacle of David. And the tabernacle of David, if you analyze it, it has to do with the sure mercies of David. We are talking about all the blessings of the new covenant. The sure mercies of David. In verse 4, indeed I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and a commander for the people. Surely you shall call nation you do not know, that is us Gentiles, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, and he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Now, how do we do that? What is involved in hearing God? He comes here. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Now you know the difference between wickedness and unrighteousness. Wickedness includes unrighteousness. Wickedness is to do with our ways, our wrong ways. Righteousness has to do with our thoughts. Unrighteous man must forsake his thoughts. He must let go of his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now he hasn't finished yet. Verse 8. For my thoughts, the Lord said, the Lord has thoughts too. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, God doesn't leave us hanging there. He tells us how to go up higher. How do we live in the heavenly places? How to ascend like an eagle high up under God? Look at what he's saying. My thoughts can fly. My thoughts are high. My thoughts are powerful. My thoughts have energy. So what do? Our own thoughts and sinful thoughts pull us down with the force of gravity. But God's thoughts pull us up. So what do? Hook on the God's thoughts and let it dwell upon your mind. Hold on to God's thoughts and let it enter into you, and it will give you the propulsion and the lift you require. All this is in line with Romans chapter 8. That tells us here, there are two forces. One pull you down, one pull you up. And it's up to us to choose what we think. In Romans 8, it says, verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. We all read about Ephesians chapter 2. We are seated in the heavenly places. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. That's how we ascend. By our thoughts, you ascend high. And you live in the realm of God. In the book of Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. If you then, that means now that you're seated in the heavenly places with Christ, if you then are raised up with Christ, if Ephesians chapter 2 has come to pass in your life, and you know it as a reality, you know it as an experience, and you know it as a fact, and you know it as a promise, what then are we to do? How do we work out our heavenly place position? It says here in verse 1, if you then were raised up with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your mind, set your thinking, set your thought life on the things which are above and not on things below. And He will lead you up into the heavenly places. There's power in our words. But let me say, there is power in our thoughts. Your thoughts can affect 1,000 lives. Your thoughts are important to God. Jesus is so emphatic. He said that if a man looks for a womb, he lusts, he has already done it. Our thoughts are important to God. The New Testament deals with our mind, the mind of Christ that we must have. The Old Testament deals with the outward law. The New Testament deals with our inward mind, that we may all have the mind of Christ. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, You know our heart, You know our thoughts, You know our emotions and feelings. Father God, if there be any single one here that has surrounded themselves with the wrong thought, we ask, O God, that You will let Your word go fall like a hammer and break every thought barrier that they placed against You. That Your thoughts may rise in their hearts and lift them up to the heavenly places in Christ. We thank You, Father God, that You will cause Your grace to increase. Let Your presence be known, Lord. Your word has gone forth, O God, breaking every barrier. And our thoughts, Lord, flow with the symphony, O Lord, of Your word, of Your spirit. And in this unity, O Lord, we thank You for Your presence. Your grace is in our midst. Precious, O Lord, are Your thoughts towards us. We pray that Your thoughts will influence, change our lives, and teach us, Lord, the sacredness of the prophetic realm, that we may understand the impressions in the spirit realm and differentiate between impressions and the voice of God and the voice of the spirit of man. Thank You, Lord, that the blood of Jesus is on our lives. Let this grace increase on our lives, Lord. Let there be a cleansing of the heart here, Lord. Let there be an infusion of Your new melodies in our hearts. And let there be the feeling of the word in our hearts. And secondly, O Lord, let there be intensity to the thoughts we think they arise. Let there be a frequency, and let there be a symphony, Lord, of our thoughts in You. Thank You for Your grace and Your mercy, Lord. Establish Your ways in our lives, even right now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's rise and sing a song. Precious Jesus, come to me, soothe my soul. Thank You, Jesus. Precious Jesus, come to me, soothe my soul with songs of peace. As I look, glory.
I closed, as I was thinking about the synchrony of brainwaves, the Lord keeps speaking and says, "If my people will have the exact thoughts that I have, if my people will have the exact mind that I have, they will do everything I can do." The difference is in our brainwaves, between the brainwaves of our Lord. And His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, but when our thoughts begin to rise to the same level that He has, and He is, we will do the works of Jesus and the greater works of Jesus. And all things shall be possible to those who believe in Him. Now right now the Spirit of God is dealing in our hearts and in our lives. If you are here right now and you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God calls you right now. You never made a public profession for Jesus. Don't delay. Today is the day. Today is your day. Right now, if you sing that song very softly again, we want you to come right up to the front of the altar area where we can pray personally for you. Jesus said that if you acknowledge Him publicly, He will acknowledge you before the angels in heaven. And if you came with your friend, you can ask your friend to accompany you to the front and we pray with you. And right now the Lord is speaking to different people here. There's a sister in a really colored dress. You're having a severe abdominal pain. God wants to heal you. Another sister, a tiny sister in a yellowish dress. And you have lumps and itchiness on your body. He wants to heal you. And in a moment of time, as you sing, we want you to come forward to receive your healing grace from God that God has for you. Another Indian brother in a white colored shirt, and you have a chest pain that afflicts you on your left side. God wants to touch and heal you too, sir. You come right up to the front. God will touch and heal you right now. There's a ring in the ear, and that belongs to a sister in a greenish colored dress. You're seated about 4 rows from the back on the right side of the auditorium. God wants to touch you. You come right up. God will heal you right now. Because it's just His presence. All you have to do is symphony with God, agree with God, and the rest He will do and operate on your life. Right now I'm picking up a sister, and you're having a pain on your foot, especially on your right foot. There's some sort of problems that you're having there. Makes you uncomfortable to walk. Please come out right now. I want to touch and heal you too. Those of you who have the exact similar symptoms, you can come right now up to, and God will touch you and heal you. And the sister with a problem, the right foot is wearing a pant. But others of you who have the same symptoms, you come and receive right now. Those who have accept Christ to the right side of the auditorium, where Pastor Joshua, you be with them there and guide them in that prayer. The rest of you come right up in His presence to receive His healing touch right now. Precious Jesus, come to me, to my soul with songs of peace. As I look to You alone, fill me with Your love. Glory. Thank you. To my melody in your heart, says the Lord. It's that melody in your heart that will heal you, that will prosper you, that will change you. Hold fast to that song in your heart. For it's my song that I have written in you. And I will cause your tongue to be like the pen of a ready writer. And out of your lips shall you drink forth of my abundance. For death and life are in the power of the tongue. And he that desire long life and desire to eat his fruit, shall eat his fruit thereof. Dharamasimriya Shimajana your mercy and your life upon each one here, Lord. Establish your purpose, Lord, in each heart. In each mind, even this day, Lord. Let your covenant of mercy be upon our lives this day. If you came out to accept Jesus, repeat it after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that all my sins are washed by your blood. This very day, I believe in my heart and I confess in my mouth that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, and I am now saved. I'm born again. Jesus is in my heart. I'm a child of God. God is now my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Feel this into your heart right now.
Precious Jesus, come to me, to my soul with songs of peace. As I look to you alone, fill me with your love. Glorious marvelous grace that rescues me.
Before they go, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor, Elder, you can come right now. Each one, one to one, or your wife, come right now. And pray for them. Praise God. Yeah, each one, each person take one, and we all finish very quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, come right up. Come right up right now. I want each one of them to be loved, to be ministered to one by one, before they leave. We thank you, Jesus. That's right. Praise God. So, ministers can come right now too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glorious, marvelous grace. Any other 1 minute, please, I'm ready to receive it. Oh. Sunday, don't forget the overnight prayer every Friday night, and Saturday is also another prayer meeting, and throughout the week they have different home fellowships on Thursday night. You can ask the information counter at the back, and God bless you. Amen.